Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Fresh off of a very successful round of Shark Tank, we have Rummy Spice. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Absolutely. So we've had a handful of very successful companies come through here who have been on Shark Tank. We had Guard Llama the other day. Prior to that, we had Dude Wipes. We had Rent Like a Champion. All these companies, except for Guard Llama, were invested in by Mark Cuban. You guys, things went well, I assume.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just having the opportunity was great for us, but getting an offer from Mark Cuban is also very exciting.
Yeah, so right off the bat, let's walk through, you know, everyone's always fascinated with what the backdrop story is, and Joe Parisi from Guard Llama did a pretty good job of walking through his experience, and I'm sure your experience is somewhat similar, maybe a little different, but why don't we start off by just telling, like, what is Rummy Spice, and then we'll get into your kind of stories and how this all came to be and what the mission behind it, because there is a very strong and cool mission, and as well as pun intended for the two of you, with this veteran relation to stuff. So why don't we talk about what Rummy Spice is first, and then we'll get to that, and then we'll get to Shark Tank.
So, yeah, we started Rummy Spice about 3 years ago.
Am I saying it wrong? Is it Rummy Spice?
Rummy Spice, yeah.
Why am I saying Rummy Spice? Oh, because I like rum, that's why. Yeah. Rummy Spice. I'm sorry, I don't... Somebody should have yelled at me and said, what the
hell? But if someone's making a rum and wants to have saffron in it, we can totally do that. And
that's me. I'm that guy. It's You know
so,
what?
Any
you guys,
any interested companies out
you
there
guys are Rummy Spice. I'm Rummy Spice. I don't know what the hell you guys are making, but mine has got rum in it. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But so go ahead and kind of tell us your stories. I'm very fascinated about the whole thing. So we've got, just so we're resetting the script here, we've got Keith and Laura from Rummy Spice. Not Rummy Spice, that's my spice.
Yeah.
Go.
So we started Rummy Spice about 3 years ago. Really, we started the ideation process about 2014. I was in Afghanistan serving with the U.S. Army, and my partners, Kim and Emily, who were three of us are co-founders. They were at Harvard Business School at the time. So while serving in Afghanistan, I met some farmers, and they were selling this, you know, red spice that I didn't know anything about. Ran into a farmer, and his name was Haji Yosef. And Haji Yosef explained, you know, I would sell more of the saffron, except I can only sell it in my local markets. So, you know, I was talking to Kim and Emily. We did some research, find out that saffron is the most expensive spice in the world, and Afghanistan grows the highest quality spice in the world. And we thought, you know, hey, there's a potential here to use business to catalyze economic development in Afghanistan if we can open up international markets to this amazing spice that Afghanistan is growing, you know, that is growing at a very high quality here. We can incentivize farmers to produce more, which will in turn provide more economic inputs into the rural, you know, to rural agriculture economy, which 85% of the Afghan population is involved in the rural economy, the agricultural economy. And, you know, what, 16 years of international intervention, and they're still struggling to catalyze economic development because the rural areas are really untouched. You know, we started out with a handful of farmers, like five farmers, and Kim came to visit Afghanistan while I was there with the military, and we met with our initial, like, five or six farmers. Hand-carried saffron back to the U.S. and just started literally knocking on doors to see if we could create a market for this spice. Fast forward, you know, till now, I mean, even prior to Shark Tank, we have over 100 accounts. We sell in the top Michelin restaurants in the country. We have very strong online sales, and we have, you know, very large wholesale accounts as well, and we also sell to Blue Apron. And our farmer network has grown from 10 farmers to over 90 farmers now. And each one of those farmers, year over year, doubles and triples their production. So the theory that we could incentivize production by creating a market has held true because the farmers, now they have a certainty that they will be able to grow and sell their product. And by the way, you know, in 3 years, we've become the largest foreign direct investment in Afghanistan agriculture, as well as the largest employer of Afghan women. So another side effect of the saffron industry is that it involves a lot of females in the process of harvesting and processing the saffron, which for Afghanistan is very transformative because, you know, during the Taliban time, you know, females have been very, you know, oppressed, not having the ability to get an education or an income. And now we're actually hiring over 300 women in our processing centers, and they're taking home a wage. They're supporting their families. And we also hire women in, like, supervisory roles in management and accounting and finance and those kind of things to run our, you know, office work in Afghanistan. One other thing I'd like to add, Scott, and I know I'm talking a lot, but
you're fine.
saffron is an alternative to opium. So the Taliban's main revenue source is from the opium production. Opium grows in very similar climates to saffron. And, you know, farmers, they grow opium because they don't have another choice. There's a ready market for it. There's a ready buyer, the Taliban. But they don't want to grow it, and it's illegal, and it's a big risk to them because the government can come in and burn down their fields at any time, and then, you know, they're a loss of their whole production. So we're giving the farmers an alternative to opium by providing them an opportunity to sell saffron. And they can make 6 to 10 times more by selling saffron than they can from opium. So it's an easy equation for the farmers. If they have the opportunity to sell saffron, they're going to do that besides opium. So it's as we grow our production, it's our hope that we can displace opium production in Afghanistan and replace that with the legal crop, saffron.
Yeah, so, I mean, not to continue going into, like, kind of into a very deep sort of part of this, because, I mean, there's a lot to this. What drew you? Because, I mean, having spoken to lots of vets, and this is certainly a generalization, but it doesn't seem like there was... You know, this has been a war. Like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to come back here. Like, I've had enough. You know, whether it's taken its emotional toll, physical, whatever. What was it about the Afghan people that drew you back in to be like, you know what? There's something here. This is salvageable. This is something that we can do something with this, rather than just take the approach of like, you know what? My duty's done. I'm out.
Yeah. You know, I had a unique opportunity in the military to, I was part of a program called the Afghan Hands, where we were taught language and culture, and had ability to connect with the Afghans on a deeper level than if you're just there for a 6-month tour. So I spent about a little more than 2 years over a period of 4 years in Afghanistan, and got to know the people. And they're the most hospitable people in the world. Outside of the Taliban and all you kind of hear from the media. And
well, that's all you get to see. The only side you get to see is that, because for obvious reasons. But
right.
And I've heard the same stories as you're conveying that. That it's an incredibly warm and hospitable people that just are not, they're just underrepresented. Nobody knows you don't hear the story about an individual farm owner walking around telling you a story. You just get the only reason we talked to him is because terrors were nearby, right, and they blew something up. And so we want to know your perspective. And all you have to share is, horror.
Yeah. And bigger than that, we strongly believe this is a better way to do development. Business is a great development agency, instead of just giving handouts. And
cash is a great incentive.
Yeah.
Earning is a great incentive.
Right, right. And, when we talk to our farmers, they don't ask for anything. We say, what can we give you? What can we help you with? They don't want a thing from us. They want our business. They want us to continue buying. They don't want handouts. They just want to be able to earn money. So all we're doing is trading value for value, and that's what's causing development. And the areas that we work, I served, 2 tours in Afghanistan and 2 in Iraq, and the areas that we work in Afghanistan are more stable by the economic input that's being put into it than having, spending millions of dollars a day to have like a U.S. presence in a certain area. So we can, stabilize villages and areas just by economic inputs and providing economic incentive that's not a handout, that's just a genuine business, value for value operation.
I can't imagine why the Sharks found this to be fascinating enough to invest in. What a crazy idea. No, this is amazing. And I also know that you've got a bag of them sitting over there.
Yes.
It's go time.
So
I want to try these puppies out, and you guys are going to tell me your story about Shark Tank while I'm chewing away.
Sure.
But first, tell me about these.
So I'm going to turn it over to Laura Willis. She's our new product development director, and she created these amazing saffron gummies, and she can explain it much better than I can. So.
Okay, Laura. Yeah, these are just, they're vegan-friendly, gluten-free. I mean, they hit all the marks that everyone wants. So no flavors or colors added. Everything is just from saffron. So you can see saffron threads are suspended gummy itself.
Yeah, these are awesome. Are you kidding?
So you like saffron. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I do. But, I mean, these are just really good.
So most people are familiar with saffron. They probably had it in risotto or paella. In U.S. cuisine, it's not usual to have saffron in a dessert. But a lot of the Michelin star restaurants that we're working in are using saffron in sweet applications. So we want to make saffron more approachable to the mainstream consumer. And
this is by far the best gummy bear of all time.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. Like it's not. This bag is not going to last the rest of the show.
Not, there's nothing added. It's saffron and sugar, and organic sugar, and that's it.
Yep.
It's really the spice is really amazing. And
how did you guys come up with this as the food? Because it's also kind of random.
Kind of random. So I worked at a Ferrara candy company before. My background is food science, so I worked, Ferrara, they make trolley.
I do. And, pretty good pairing you guys make over here.
$1 million candy company. I met Kim, the CEO, at a trade show in Anaheim. And it was like we were at some random desk And the lights were like shutting down and they were closing down the building. And like the last booth was Kim, and she's so excited. She was really passionate about Afghanistan. And then she ended up, we traded business cards, and she wrote me, they want to hire a food scientist. And I kind of wrote her, I'm interested, but also you guys should be making products that people can try and eat and throw around, you know?
He's eating them. These are delicious.
So that was kind of where it started. And I actually approached them and said, I would like to work with you guys. I think I can help, you know, with my background to help make products that are easy to reach to consumers.
So who'd you say is the target? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, obviously like confectioners, you know, candies, they're a growing part. I mean, people are always buying gummies. So we hope that people try the gummies and love them. But the sharks also love the gummies. And that was part of it that got cut out of the show. But the food that we gave them, you know, during the segment was the saffron gummies, among a couple of other things. And the gummies were a huge hit with the sharks.
I can see why. They're delicious.
Yeah, yeah. So that was – I mean, I think that really opens investors' eyes into, like, this is more than just selling a spice, a commodity. It's not a commodity. I mean, this is the next –
This is
like,
a really brilliant – what was the first product you made? Was it the gummies or – what was
we have a butter, a saffron butter right now that is being sold mostly in like a specific area with Maine lobster. And this is our first though like to consumer product that we just launched.
I'm going to tell you, like, this is one of the most brilliant things because one, people who work in offices obviously want to, they find something to chew on, candies all day long. Any place you go, it's just full of candies. This is also a candy where you could literally give this to kids and I would see kids loving this.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is such an easy way, a non-threatening way to find a new spice that you probably would have not maybe found before. If you would have, you would have not known like why it was there.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, well, that's saffron butter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So give us a little bit of insight here into your experience while on the tank. You know, what were the most threatening parts? You know, how did the deal come apart or come together with Cube, and how did it all like kind of work itself out? Like just kind of give the audience, in case they missed Shark Tank, you know, what's the storyline? Whatever you can say, of course. I know there's always limitations.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the limitations are. But, you know, I think people probably realize there's a lot more filmed than is shown in the short segment.
We were there for, like, what, 45 minutes or an hour?
It was almost an hour that we're sitting there. And you know, you saw some of that on the show. There was a lot of rapid-fire questions, a lot of questions about the financials and the numbers and the mission. I think that, in retrospect, I could see the interest in Mark and Robert and even Mr. Wonderful, like, right away, you know, because I think that they
Who's actually a nice guy, by the way.
Yeah.
From everything I hear, he's actually, like, a really nice guy. He just plays his role.
Making a good show, I think.
Well, he's definitely – he plays the asshole pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah.
But
anyway. So, I mean, he was tough. You know, he was asking tough questions. I mean, there were, you know, justified questions that you would ask. But, you know, after sitting up there under the lights for 45 minutes, you know, you can't – bat 1,000 with all the questions coming at you. So, and also it makes for a good show. But, you know, they were all asking tough questions, you know, rapid fire. I think that they like the story of the veterans, you know, helping Afghanistan. And I think once you realize that there's a lot of potential in the saffron industry, you know, I'm not sure if this got out on the show, but what makes it a really interesting industry from the standpoint of a U.S. company getting into saffron, most of the saffron that you buy here in the U.S. is like Spanish branded, but Spain only exports about 1% of the saffron that they produce. The rest of it is mixed coming from who knows where, and most of it we're finding is fake. So 1/3 to half of the saffron that you can find on the market is fake, and it's dyed something. If you put it in hot
shocking,
water.
Shocking,
yeah, of you,
course.
You see
just absolutely shocked by that.
So it's been a really easy sell with chefs. Because, I mean, we can put hot water,
can introduce you to the farmer who pulled this off the, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I can tell you exactly who grew that saffron and when it was grown. And I can't tell you what the stuff is in your competitor's saffron that's being dyed. And
looks like red dye number 8. I don't know otherwise.
So it's real easy with chefs. They're easy to, you know, to convince. We're hoping the, you know, mainstream American consumer will start considering using saffron. And a lot of the reason, you look at the shelf, it's the most expensive spice on the shelf. And when you're buying stuff that's like, when you end up using it and it's half fake, you're not going to get as much taste out of it.
Yeah, it's worthless.
So when people try what real saffron tastes like, you know, all our customers, they, you know, they come back and they buy saffron from us, you know, time and time again. And it really transforms, you know, a regular dish of paella, or you can make – I made ice cream with it the other day. I make risotto all the time. So it really is a transformative spice.
We're eating at your house. That's all I'm going to tell you. So before we let you go out of here, you know, what is the next thing that you expect or we should expect to see coming out of – out of not just you guys, but out of the whole thing. Like, I feel like you guys are so mission driven that there's opportunity to learn from this and go back and try to find other things that you could do this same kind of model around. What's next?
Yeah, that's something that we've discussed. I mean, we really want to push Saffron and try to build products around Saffron. So some other Saffron related products. But Afghanistan's got great produce. They've got great products. I think that we've proven a model that works.
You've shown that you can build a distribution model out of there that I think other people probably thought couldn't be done, and you've proven you could do it. So it's a matter of like anything, really. I feel like with you guys, you could do just about anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of good studies on what products have the most potential coming out of Afghanistan. They have great pomegranates, and I know some people are doing that. So I mean, really, there's no limit to what you can do. And Afghanistan used to. 30 years ago, before the Soviet occupation and then the Taliban, they were part of the international market. They were selling goods, across borders, and now they've been cut off. So this is what we're trying to do: is open Afghanistan back up. And it's really when you connect countries through markets is when you see stabilization. You don't see problems. It's when countries.
Despite what you hear from some other governments, despite what you might hear, that is proven true time and time again.
Right.
Craziness. This is awesome. Congratulations on the Shark Tank success. Congratulations on the success anyway that you guys have had already. And obviously, thank you for your service and thank you for putting this together. This is fantastic. Where do people go to get more of these gummies? Where do I go to get more of these gummies is what I'm saying.
Well, right now we're not yet in stores.
What?
We're going to push them into Whole Foods. We're just getting the packaging like this week delivered. So it's like a pretty hot off the press product.
Yeah.
Yep. You're getting like...
I'm giving my address. You just send them right to my house. So, I don't care what kind of packaging.
It's on our website, just rumispice.com. RUMI.
Yeah, not Rummy Spice. Go to Rummy Spice. I'll be at Rummy Spice dropping these things in my rum drinks.
Rumi is a 13th century Persian poet from Afghanistan. So part of our mission is to rebrand Afghanistan with something positive, not just war and terrorism, but Afghanistan, the world's most famous poet, Rumi, is from Afghanistan. So we thought that was
an applicable
name for us.
That's very cool. Very, very, very smart too, obviously. This is great. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for coming on.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more on technoradio.com. Download the podcast and hear me chewing on gummies. And stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technoradio. Follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.